This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2017, held in Sugar Creek, Ohio on March 3 and 4.
Remember that great leadership isn't just professional, it's personal. You cannot lead at arm's length. You have to bring people in. You have to get close to them and you have to mentor them. Make your pasture a safe place. Keep your people well informed. Infuse every position with importance. Cull chronic instigators from your flock. If you have a teacher, if you have a parent, if you can't keep teachers and you have two sets of parents that are constantly just mouthing off all the time and constantly causing problems in the school, you're going to keep burning through teachers. That's a fact. Maybe it's time to decide and make the hard decisions about who could come to this school and who can't come to this school. Regularly rotate your sheep to fresh pastures. How many of you have teachers that are like, I've taught for 5 years, I need a break? You should have figured out that they needed a break in year 4 or year 3 and figured out what you can do to keep them and alleviate the reason for the break. It's not always possible, but something to think about. Reassure the sheep by staying visible. We've already covered that. Don't give problems time to fester. We've covered that. Number 5, the staff of direction. Know where you're going, get out front, and keep your flock on the move. You're not growing, you're dying. Have a vision, know what you're doing and why you're doing it. When directing, use persuasion rather than coercion. I loved the earlier presenter, salesman. You need to be a salesman. You need to help people understand the right way instead of saying, you will do this. And I have a testimony. We had a teacher that the principal made a statement, this can no longer happen. And the teacher said, oh, is there any way that we can have a meeting before you just hand down this rule? Because I want a chance to present why I do what I do. We said, okay, that's fine. I had a board meeting 2 days later. Teacher came with a whole page of reasons why they felt like what they were doing was important. And so we quietly listened to everything. And then we had a rebuttal. And we said, okay, well, here's why we think that you're wrong, point one, point two. And then we had further discussion ensue. And then the teacher said, well, you know what? I got an idea. Why don't we just not do this? And we're all like, yeah, that would be a great idea. Let's do that. But if we would have just stuck to our guns and said no, we'd have a festering problem over here. When you hand down statements and you hand down directives, you're not always accomplishing what you expect to be accomplishing. Give your people freedom of movement, but make sure they know where the fence line is. Don't confuse boundaries with bridles. It's okay to direct the school. And it's okay to have boundaries, but don't confuse them. I can't go into depth on all of these. When your people get in trouble, go and get them out. I cannot stress this enough. Teaching is a very public position. Everybody is watching. And you are molding and shaping the apple of people's eye. You are dealing with their children. You're up in their family. You have to be careful. You have to be careful. And when your teachers run amiss of a family, don't go, I don't know what they were doing. You have to back your teachers up. I have said to the teachers, we have your back. We will back you up on anything. We will support you. Well, obviously, the flip side of the coin is we will investigate, and if they are in the wrong, then we will take care of the wrong. We will admonish them not to do that again. We will give them directives on how to do it in the future. But we will back our teachers up. If they run into trouble, we are there for them, and we will help them. And we are committed to getting through this where it's a win-win for everybody. We're not just abandoning them and say, well, teacher, talk to that parent. Parent's upset. Parent, talk to the teacher. Y'all handle it. You're not doing your job. You have to get involved. Maybe they need to communicate. Maybe they need to work some things out. Maybe there is a problem there. Maybe the teacher doesn't like that family. Be there. Be the moderator. Be the, help me out with the word. Thank you, arbitrator. Remind your people that failure isn't fatal. Sometimes teachers make colossal mistakes. Oh, I can't do this anymore. Oh, calm down. Calm down. We've got this. Help them get back up. Help them move forward. I don't care whether you're the chairman, you're the secretary treasurer, or whether you're just a member of the board. This is your job. You need to be involved. You can't say, well, I'm not the chairman. Not my problem. Number 6, the rod of correction. Protect. Stand in the gap and fight for your sheep. I kind of already covered that. You have got to protect against attacks coming in. Correct. Approach discipline as a teaching opportunity. Mistakes will be made. Your teachers will make colossal mistakes. Other school board members, parents will make colossal mistakes. That's okay. What better way to learn and grow than through a mistake? A mistake is not a problem until you don't learn from it. Then it becomes a problem. Until then, it's simply a mistake, and it's an opportunity to learn. Inspect. Regularly inquire about your people's progress. Again, I can't stress this enough. Know what happens in the school. And know that by not hearing reports from at school board meeting. Know that by showing up. The heart of the shepherd, 7. Great leadership is a lifestyle. It's not a technique. Every day you have to decide who's going to pay for your leadership, you or your people. This is very true. Somebody is going to pay for your leadership. And if you are an absentee board member, and if you are an unengaged board member, if you are not participating in the school, your teachers are paying for your leadership. They're going to feel lonely. They're going to feel left out. They're going to feel abandoned. They're going to feel pushed to the side, unimportant. Somebody's paying for your leadership. And if you refuse to do the hard things of showing up and doing your job, because that's hard, you have to pay for that. It takes time out of your schedule. It takes a lot of work. You have to get messy and into relationships, and young, especially young ladies that have that are teachers, they have specific and problems, and they, you know, it's just, and you're just like, oh, I don't want to deal with that. Somebody's going to pay for that attitude. Somebody's paying for that. And if you're not willing to pay for it, they will. And don't cry when you can't keep teachers, because it's your leadership. Most of all, have a heart for your sheep. You have to care about the school. You have to care about education. And I keep using the word Christian education. To me, there's a big difference between education and Christian education. And if you don't understand the difference, then your school's in trouble, because we do things differently from a Christian education perspective than as a secular education. Our school, we call it the three-legged stool. Our school stands on three legs. We teach three basic areas in our school. We teach academics. That's kind of a given. This is called school. We teach social skills, and we teach character. Those three things is what is taught in our school. And there's a lot of issues that come up in board meetings that are not academic related. And so we identify, is this a character problem? Is this a social problem? Or is this an academic problem? And we treat it as such. Our teachers know, our principal knows, your job is to help train these children socially and character-wise and spiritually. It's just as important as what you're doing academically in the school. I was originally signed a topic K, which is on Saturday, and I would highly recommend you go to that. I'm going to put in a sales plug for somebody else. I don't even know the gentleman that's speaking on that. Dwayne Glick, is he in the room? Okay. I would like to go to that. Know what produced, what character, what qualities you're producing and why. You have to know. Take some cues from your business. Know what you're doing. Have a plan. And don't just say, well, we're educating children. Have a greater vision than that. Communicate with your patrons. You have got to know what your parents want. What is important to your church? What is important to the families? And if you are a church school, which most of us are here, what does your church, have goals for the school? How many of you know what the church's goals for the school are? The rest of you, here's your assignment. Write it down. Go back and find out what you're doing. Why are you doing something you don't know what you're doing? You need to know why you're doing what you're doing. Our congregation has mandated the board. We want to make sure that we have quality education. We want our education, level of education, to continue increasing year after year. We want a better school. We also, as another goal that they have, is we want well-paid teachers. We want teachers that can make a career out of this. And it's your job to find, train, and develop and grow those teachers and keep them. So we had teachers come to us and says, not your problem, it's my problem, but I can no longer afford to teach. First thing we did, go back to the church and say, we are proposing a new budget because we need to pay our teachers more. We don't have to take, we could say, oh, yeah, I understand, you know. And we could have looked in their lives and said, yeah, you made some pretty poor financial decisions. But given the situation, obviously there was some maturity and some thought given. We're just not throwing money at the problem. But we looked at it and said, it is time to give our teachers a raise. We want you to stay. We went back to the church and said, we're going to need more money for next year. And they granted that. All right, now I'm going to get kind of the details, the nitty-gritty. These are just some of the things that I think are important. If you're just now starting, if you're just now getting onto the board, here's what you need to do. Number one, you need to have an opinion. Please have an opinion. It doesn't have to match with everybody else's, but have an opinion. The first topic we talked about, you don't have to agree. And I can't agree with that more. You don't have to agree. You don't show up at the board meeting and figure out what everybody else is thinking and then go that way. Know what you think, know why you do, why you believe what you do, and stick to it. So in our board, and you'll get to see them the next session, we have two fairly strong and opinionated people, and then we have maybe a less opinionated person in our board. And there's some board meetings where we get to the board meeting and we've discussed this thing over and over again, and it's not consequential. Maybe it's the case in point that I'm thinking of was a curriculum decision. I wanted this, and the other member wanted this, and we didn't discuss it. A decision had to be made. The principal says, we have to order books this week. We need a decision at this board meeting, end of story. So we have to make a decision. So we came to the board meeting, and I said, all right, we know what the issues are. You want to break the tie? And that's okay. That is okay. These are not life and death, right and wrong decisions. You are called to make a decision with the best knowledge that you have. And if you're rubber stamping everything, you're not putting any thought into it.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.